Good morning. Good to see each and every one of you here today. It's an honor to have Bob Brown with us this morning. He happened to be in the area for a class reunion in the Pascagoula area. I won't ask him which class reunion that would be, but kind of an impromptu occasion, got the opportunity to ask Bob if he would give a presentation here at Creekwood during the Bible class hour. Hurley and Eloise Cruz have supported the work in Latin America for many years, and it is a good work indeed. Bob Brown has been involved in the planning of over 100 congregations in 13 different island nations, over 6,000 members in the Caribbean alone. Over 52 congregations were established during his tenure there as a missionary in Venezuela from 1977 to 96. He maintains his Venezuelan residency and travels every couple of months, he tells me, and is known by many government officials there and economic leaders. Bob continues to assist in the planning of churches and evangelistic campaigns in Mexico, Central and South America, and also the Caribbean. He makes frequent trips to Latin America to present seminars for preachers and congregations. He presently resides in the Denver area, where he is assisting to establish congregations there in the metropolitan area among the English and Hispanic population. So please give a warm welcome to Brother Bob Brown.
So much to say, not a lot of time. Want to cover as much as I can. But I do want to take just a moment to let some of you know that I grew up in Pascagoula, graduated from high school there, and that was where I was at the class reunion. And then after studying at Freed, I came back to this area, worked with the church over in Fairhope for a while, got to know all the preachers in the area, and I could name all of the preachers that the young people here would not know, and then have stayed in touch with almost all the new ones. Glad to get to know David and to know that he's H.A. Dixon's grandson, one of my teachers at Freed when I was a kid. And it's interesting to come back into Mobile because it's home for me, actually. And when I went overseas, you'll see some of the places that we started works. But particularly when I got to Trinidad, we had so many converts. Everybody and his cousin wanted to come and work with us. And a lot of the preachers came out of this area. Don Latham, Jerry Davidson, Wayne Pruitt, and Glenn Buffington, and just lots of preachers came down on campaigns. W.T. Allison, who some of you heard of, and a lot of people like that came out of this area. V.P. Black and E.R. Brannan and all of those people came to be a part of our work. The whole Caribbean in the beginning basically was being evangelized by Mobile, Alabama. So I still consider myself somewhat of a hometown boy, and it's great to be able to come back here. For what purpose? To make you feel really great about what's happened in the intervening years and what's taking place. But time is short, and I'm going to move fast if I can. The work that we're talking about is concentrated, and I'll just move over here if you don't mind and shout a little bit, in all of this island chain on this side of the Caribbean. And so I'll use it. And we started out working out of the center, the island of St. Vincent. Ralph Wharton, who also spent some time preaching in this area, had gone down, stayed 2 years, and his family just couldn't quite handle it. So they were coming back up to the States and needed somebody to replace him. And I was over at Fairhope and constantly reading articles in Brotherhood magazines about needing a missionary. in St. Vincent. I'm thinking, well, that sounds like somebody asking for a girl to serve in a restaurant as a waitress, you know, waitress needed. And it kept coming up and coming up. And I thought, what's wrong with the brotherhood? So I preached a series of sermons on the Great Commission. And then I was sitting in my office one day with my feet up on my desk, and there was again. Nobody had gone down there to replace that guy. And I'd heard that it was a real fruitful area. They'd just begun to experiment that. And so I called VP Black up, asked him if he thought it'd be a good idea. He said, yeah, it'd be great. Go. And so anyway, I ended up moving to the island of St. Vincent in 1969. I was 24 years old. And we began working out from the capital city of Kingston to other parts of the island and started 13 congregations in 1 year, basically. And I thought I'd be there for the rest of my life because there were 100,000 people on that island. A year and a half, 2 years later, I realized they don't need me here anymore. I need to move on. And besides that, while we were working in that area, you can't hardly see this myself now, but we began to have correspondence course students in all of the islands, including the island of Trinidad down to the very south end of the chain. And there were thousands and thousands of people interested in studying, especially in Trinidad. We were having great results. And so I chose to go out of the center of the islands down to Trinidad and work there. It was a larger island, larger population, had 1 million people. And just like I thought I'd spend the rest of my life on St. Vincent with 100,000 people to evangelize, I thought surely I'll spend the rest of my life in Trinidad with 1 million people that, you know, need to be evangelized. And we had no members of the church at all when I first arrived there. And that was true of most of all the other islands. But by the time I made the move to Trinidad, we already had congregations in every capital city and in some of the smaller cities in all of these islands, about 13 of them. But when I moved to Trinidad, things just really went crazy. I mean, the people in Trinidad were so anxious to study. It was a given. I mean, God just turned that over to us. The people were so excited about hearing the word. And we eventually enrolled 100,000 people out of 1 million. For those of you that are in marketing, you know what that means. In a Bible correspondence course, and many of them had taken as many as 5 courses. And many of them would come to my office and just be ready to be baptized because they knew everything they needed to know. We ended up giving them kind of a verbal quiz, an oral quiz, to find out they knew what they were doing. Sure enough, so we'd head to the river again. Literally just ruined the front seat of my car carrying wet people around all the time. And we ended up baptizing 5,000 people in 5.5 years. The work exploded. And it was so exciting to see, but it was so exciting also that when I couldn't get anybody to come into the islands at the beginning, all of a sudden everybody from Mobile wanted to join me and other places as well. Consequently, we ended up with 10 missionary families. And I was concerned about something else because I had a visitor who came over from the island of Trinidad, now here in the very south. I mean, from Venezuela to Trinidad when I was there. He came across from Caracas over to the country of Trinidad to visit me, and he was begging for help. They had 8 members of the church in Caracas, a city of 4 million people. We only had 1 million people on the island of Trinidad altogether. And I'm thinking, wow, we got 5,000 members. He thought that too. I preached on the crucifixion of Jesus one night, the only night he was there for the services, and he cried and cried. And I thought, boy, I'm really getting to this guy. When it was all over, I said, boy, that sermon about the crucifixion really got to you, didn't he? He said, I didn't even listen. He said, I was just sitting there thinking about how you have 5,000 members here, and we have 8 in Caracas, and that's all we have in the nation of Venezuela. So I tried to get everybody that was moving to Trinidad, where we were having so many conversions, to think about going to Venezuela, and no one would go. And so finally, when we had the Pan-American Lectureship hosted there and had about 200 North Americans down visiting with us, and we filled up the grand salon of the Hilton Hotel there with about 1,000 local members every night, plus the North American visitors. They'd never seen anything like that. I got up and said, guess what? I'm leaving. And that didn't go over real well. But my wife and I moved to Venezuela. And that was tough because I was the one that had the radio program that got all those leads. Everybody knew me there in the whole island. And to pull out was, I wasn't sure then nor now if I made the right decision, but I knew somebody had to do something for the nation of Venezuela. So I went over to work with eight people on a back street in an old house that was about to fall down and left the incredible work we had in the nation of Trinidad. Let's go back and take some pictures now and see what happens here as we go along. This is one of the congregations today in Trinidad. It started in my basement. And we had 30 people the first day because of the radio program and two baptisms that very first day. And those guys, one was faithful till he died and the other still faithful today. And this is taken from a balcony. You can't see but about a third of the congregation there. And then recently we went back down for just a gathering that they had of three congregations that got together, but they all on the same weekend had a ladies program. That's my wife speaking there. And off to the right here, you have the prime minister's wife who introduced my wife, Kelly, for that speaking engagement and had 600 ladies present. And then on Sunday morning, we had, you can't see all of them here because again, the balcony obscures some of it. We had over 1,500 people for services on Sunday morning. And this is just a couple of the congregations in the northern part of the island of Trinidad. But I moved on over from Trinidad, which you can see to the far right there again, and moved over to the city of Caracas with the same game plan. Wanted to start in Caracas and then spread out to the other countries of the nation. Today, there are congregations in every large city of the nation of Venezuela. About 90% of the people of that nation can get up on Sunday morning and drive to church and be there within 45 minutes. And the congregations have abounded. There's about 60 now. And the work has spread over to the nation of Colombia. We'll see other slides here in a moment to show what we've done in Peru, what we've done in Ecuador, and almost every nation of South America, except for Brazil, which is Portuguese speaking. And it's been a wonderful experience that has led us into Central America, into the Spanish-speaking islands of the Caribbean as well. We started our work in Caracas by meeting in that little house I just described. But before 1 year was over, we were meeting in Parque Central and had about 60 members after the first year. And this is an apartment building in each instance there. And the whole complex will hold 35,000 people. And they had stores, clinics, and everything else, recreation centers all in the basement, and big meeting halls. So we were able, and you can't really appreciate this with the lighting, but there were about 500 people were meeting on Sunday morning when we kind of, you know, got to our maximum in that particular facility and had to go to multiple congregations. One of the things I immediately started doing, because let me tell you what, if you get up on Sunday morning with the idea of preaching to 52 different churches in the nation, you can't make it. David, that's just too much preaching for one day. You gotta have preachers. You can't start lots of churches if you don't have preachers. So I was able to buy a farm for almost nothing, and I built these little temporary shelters, and we began to have preachers' retreats and train men. You know, we did that all the time, all week long, everywhere, but we had special efforts for them and still do to this day, constantly have them. I'll be going down 2 weeks from now, and we'll have about 60 preachers come together, and we teach them how to preach and go through issues that might be troubling them and try to keep everything united. And the work in Venezuela is totally united. There is communication and fellowship between all the preachers and all the churches all the way across the country. It's beautiful. And it's just constant. But this is one of the groups outside. You know, the difference is that when it first started, they didn't have tents. Now they have tents. We roughed it in hammocks in the very beginning. I slept one night in a hammock out under a tree when it was pouring down rain, monsoon. But now they invite me to stay in their tents and turn on their fans for me. But one of the guys that we converted, who was a little boy, is Leo Rojas. He's the father in this crowd. And he looked like his son to the far right when we first baptized him. Leo worked in several of the congregations up in the Andes first, and then came down and worked directly with me for about 5 or 6 years, and then chose to go to Barquisimeto, where we had a work that started out real well, kind of died down a little bit, and needed to be picked up again, kind of like leaving the first love sort of thing. But they had some people of the anti-persuasion who came in and kind of upset the apple cart and ruined everything. But he went back and reworked that and took it from almost nothing up to a really nice-sized church today. The last time I was there in the building, we had 824 outside, estimated that we passed 1,000. And that was the day that Leo was being named as one of the elders, the third elder of that work. And this is typical of a lot of the congregations that have been established there. Out of that congregation, and I'm going to go back and let you look at that one more time, out of this congregation in Barquisimeto came a guy who was perverse. This guy was a taxi driver, womanizer, alcoholic, drug addict, a little bit of everything. And he became a Christian and became a headache for Leo and the other preachers there. He was a pain, but he was always on the move, always excited, always questioning everything. But he was converting a lot of people. Then he called me in Caracas one day and said, I want to go and study in Quito, Ecuador, and study full-time for 2 years to be a better preacher. I told him, I said, Winston, classroom study's not for you. He's already married, had a couple kids. I said, that's just not you. It's not you. And so he went over and studied for 1 year. During that 1 year that he was in Quito, Winston baptized 75 people that year, started a new congregation in Ecuador, printed a book, and the guy that published it for him was one of his converts who had a printing company. And then he started calling me, give me support to come back to Venezuela. Well, somebody, just by God's providence, came up and said, I'll support Winston for 1 year. And so we brought him back. And the first month he was there, he baptized about 18 people. And he's worked really hard. And he is training other men. You see the guy on the far right and the far left are brothers. I changed their diapers years ago. And the boy in the back is Winston's son. And they have been working together. And these boys, especially the Sosa boys, that's their last name, on the right and left, are both studying law and are going to be incredible evangelists. Incredible. They're getting the spirit that Winston has, plus they've got class. And they're just going to do a great job. And Winston started out with nothing, no members at all. And now they're having about 500 to 550 every Sunday morning and just growing still like crazy. And that's only been about 8 years that he's been working there. Typical of the situations we run into there. Another couple I want to introduce to you just got married not too awful long ago, and they've got a little baby now. And they are working in very close to Caracas in a bedroom community. When we divided that big church in Caracas into multiple congregations, there were some that were actually outside the city proper in bedroom communities, kind of like you have here on the western side of Mobile. And this guy started working with a congregation, San Antonio de los Altos, San Antonio Heights. And this is the meeting place they meet in. This picture was taken about a year and a half ago. They have filled that empty space now and are growing rapidly. There are lots of congregations that size. One of the families I worked with there on trips happened to be a really good contact because he is going to be the next governor of the state of Cojedes in Venezuela. We have 20 states. He'll be the governor. And he was living with this beautiful woman who was not his wife. They were just living together, but very much in love. He cared a lot about her. That's just how life is in Venezuela sometimes. And so they got married and baptized the very same day. Here's Carlos baptizing the wife and also the husband who, as I said, is a candidate for the governorship of one of the states in that country. Now, because things were going so well in Venezuela, especially with training so many ministers and so forth, I made a decision to try and have a joint preacher's retreat with the people I'd been working with in Colombia, as well as the preachers I've been working with in Venezuela. So we went to the northern coast of Colombia and got as many of the people from both nations together, because there was wonderful fellowship between all the people we converted over in Colombia. And I was having wonderful fellowship, wonderful preacher's retreats with them, the same as in Venezuela. But I got to thinking, you know, wow, you know, Venezuela is here and Colombia is over here. And these people all know each other and have great fellowship. But they don't know each other. And so we got together, and now there's an exchange of preachers, and communication is going on constantly all across the northern side of that continent. Because, you see, Colombia reaches over to the Pacific side. Venezuela reaches over to the Atlantic side. So this is all the way across the continent. There's perfect fellowship and communication of the preachers, and they're aiding each other in what they're doing now, which is such a blessing, such a blessing. In the country of Colombia, this is one of the congregations, Medellin. You've heard about it because of the drug cartels and so forth. I've worked to help this congregation. One of their elders is a guy that we converted in Caracas in the very, very beginning, who went back to Colombia. That's where he was born, and is working with his own home congregation. This is another congregation that we started in the northern part of the city of Bogota, which is a very refined area, a lot of wealthy people, and it's going well. Because we were doing so well in those countries, just south of Colombia, in Peru, the brethren began to ask us to help them. This congregation was already existent. I just went down, did gospel meetings with them, and took Harding University students, who are seen here wearing Inca Kola shirts. That's their favorite soft drink. And I've been taking Harding students now for 30 years, once or twice a year overseas for campaigns. And they're all bilingual. They do not just go down there and have a vacation. They go down and teach the Word of God. And we've had lots of results working in several congregations. And we started a new congregation there in the city. This is one of the Bible studies that's going on during the campaign with some of the students. My wife is sitting on the far right there, facing you, and this is a ladies' class that she was teaching, and there are a couple Harding students scattered among the local members. But this church was in an area called San Isidro that's had to move twice, that's been unfortunate, to different places within the city just to have a place to meet. It's been very difficult for them. But one of the things that I really appreciate is the fact that all the congregations are open to having us in and letting us work with them. But this guy on your left is a pediatric neurosurgeon, and he is one of the most respected doctors in all of Lima, Peru, thus in the nation of Peru as well. And the guy on the right is a councilman for the mayor of the city of Lima, and they were friends, and both of them were converted because of our campaign. This is Paul Dowell, who came down as a missionary and arrived at the same time that we came in with the campaign and got the church started in San Isidro. Today, the neurosurgeon is actually the preacher for the church that has since moved to a town called Salamanca. It's a suburb, a part of Lima. You know, you can't do all that without people inviting you to go somewhere else and preach and do other things. This was a meeting in Chile, and I didn't establish the work in Chile, didn't work in it directly, but because of what we were doing up in the northern part of the continent, everybody knew about what we were doing. And so this gives you a sample of some of the work we would go out just sporadically and help. And I preached in a conference in Chile. And then I was invited also to Central America, to El Salvador, to speak. I was really impressed with the work there. We had the first year that I went, 3,000 people came together for a joint meeting of the churches, an annual meeting of the churches. And that's not everybody. That's just some of them. But the next year we wanted to be able to accommodate as many as we possibly could. So we met in the national, I guess it's arena. It's a big, huge Superdome type thing. And we had over 5,000 that year that came for the series of lessons that we delivered. Mexico, Monterrey, Mexico. I was there 2 weeks before the SETA came in and took over the hotel I'd been in, shot a bunch of people, kidnapped a bunch of people, and I appreciated them coming a week after I was gone. But we had a really good meeting in Monterrey. And Mexico's getting tough. It's a hard place to work these days. Guatemala, the preacher's there. Wanted to have a preacher's retreat. I went, and you'll see a gringo right in the middle of the crowd there, right, that guy right there, taller than everybody else. That's my son, Juwan, my oldest son, who went down and helped me teach a series of lessons on the book of Hebrews. I go every third or fourth year to help out there. And a brother from Nashville built this facility, and it is a medical facility and a dental facility in that country. And so the preachers use it once a year to have these big preachers' meetings. Never really got involved in the work in Ecuador until I went down to speak at the Pan American Lectureship in Quito, Ecuador. And while I was there, I was aware of the fact that we had members from Venezuela that had gone back to their home country of Ecuador that weren't going to church. So I went over to Cuenca, Ecuador, where they lived, and restored them, got them going back to church, and met the congregation that was over there that was about half this size at that time, and we got behind them and started helping them. They were just finishing this facility, which they built themselves with their own money, and they are doing incredibly well. We're involved in trying to help them in evangelistic efforts, in seminars, everything we can do for them. This is Miguel, who is, and Loretta will need to see this one. That's the young man that's helping her daughter get a house in Cuenca right now because she's moving down there. And this is just one of the many, 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 many baptisms we've had in Ecuador as well. Recent results, harvests. This is the last Harding group that I took in. And here's our neurosurgeon baptizing one of the ladies. Then there was one of our students that reached another young girl. Things like that are still going on. Then Kelly, my wife, and I went to the country of Venezuela like we always do constantly. We went to the little congregation I showed you where Carlos and Amber, his wife, the newly marrieds that have a little baby now that are in San Antonio Heights. They're working there. And this is my house, by the way, in Venezuela that they're in when I took this picture. But this guy is a doctor. He's a gynecologist. His wife is a psychiatrist. And the little daughter is a national figure. She has a voice that you cannot believe. Unbelievable. She's winning any kind of musical event she gets in. And everybody knows her. She's all over YouTube. I mean, you can't go into YouTube without finding her. And to hear her sing is amazing. She is 12 years old. Went to one of her events one Sunday afternoon after I preached, right the same week she got baptized. And she stood up and she just, her presence is like an adult, but she's 12 years old. And she says, I'm dedicating this next song to my preachers, Bob and Carlos. And they're sitting right over here, you know. And so, you know, then she starts singing. She was so incredibly good. Tears just streamed down my face. And she is so powerful. But her mom told her later, said, you know, I'm so proud of you mentioning Bob and Carlos. She said, why? She said, well, you know, most teenagers wouldn't, or she's not even a teenager yet, 12, wouldn't have mentioned that they go to church or their preacher's there or something like that. And she said, well, those would be the stupid ones. And she is a beautiful little gal with a wonderful, wonderful spirit. And I just can't wait to see what she's going to do for the work in Venezuela because of her popularity. Two other young ladies who were baptized that same week whose brother is being trained by Carlos to preach. a young couple. He has a publicity company. She, I can't remember, she's in tourism and has her own company. And I put this picture in there for one reason. That was taken in Ecuador at one of the parks. And when I'm out fundraising, and that's not why I came here today. I just wanted to make you feel real good about one of the hometown boys doing some incredible things with the help of a lot of people from around this area. But above everything else, like Acts 14, 27, and 28 says, what God has done through us and how he has opened the door to the continent of South America. But we've only begun. There's so much more still being done. And I haven't talked about the work that we started in Kazakhstan, initiating the work in that nation, or the work that we did in Russia while I was in North Atlanta for a little while. But we have so much more to do. And I'm concentrating a lot now on these preachers' meetings, training men, because I can go in and teach 60 men a series of lessons, give them written material, send them home, and 60 churches will benefit from that 1 week of study. But this is a rickety little bridge saying that there's still a lot of pitfalls. There's still, we need to take care. We need to work hard, watch our step, and we've got a ways to go still. But God is blessing us tremendously. People say, well, what about your family? Do you have a family? Well, yeah, I do. I got a lot of it, as a matter of fact. And well, I can see myself even better. As I aim this thing, you can see the young guy back in the back there. That's me. And then they always ask if my wife, you know, is my daughter, Olivia, the same granddaughter. But that's Kelly. And then my oldest son, who went to Guatemala with me, who you saw in the other picture, is right here. He has his own company, rigging cameras and doing 3D animation in Denver. And then my second son is working in Denver also as one of the managers for one of the large grocery chains. And then my third son, right here, Rusty, is over in Knoxville, Tennessee, working with a church that he helped plant. And then after he got going, he left and went to China. I used to my buddy Benny Mullins over at Spanish Fork. Boy, goes around comes around. I got plenty to go down to Guyana and help out in Trinidad and places like that. Well, that was a good thing to do work with me. And then he takes my son and sends him to China. Even though he's Spanish speaking, he sends him to China. But he did a good work in Dungeon Cove. He and his wife got the work started there. And now he's back in Knoxville for the same church that he helped to establish. Then Danny is just graduating from college, from the university there, in the city of Denver, and he's probably going to stay there and work. All of these kids go on campaigns with us. Natalie was a little girl whose story I looked at in my time. People are literally out of the trash all the streets across a piece of tooth in her mouth. Now she's a dental assistant in Denver. And we take a little work with her. They're healthy, and she's beautiful and proud of her. She's doing it. It's a great job as a mother and a wife. That's one of them. Of all that I said today, that's one of the greatest accomplishments my wife and I have had. Helping Natalie become the Christian princess that she is today. She's really, really, really sweet. Kelly is a nurse at my wife at the Swedish Medical Center in Denver. And that's us. And I just hope that because you live here in this area and you know all the people that I know, because I come off from here, that you'll be happy to know the great things that happen because the churches are mobile out of that. Big part of everything we've done from the very beginning until now. Kirby has helped us through the years, others have as well. And there's not a congregation in this city that somewhere along the way hadn't made sacrifices to help us, especially since there have been. But I'm just very grateful to all of you. Good to be back to those of you that I know. Good to be able to meet those of you that have been there before. And may God continue to bless your work. I know you're going to want me to get all the pictures outside. That's great. And God's kingdom is going all over the world. And those that God has encouraged and tell us the things aren't going well, well, we're talking about it. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
Who's in charge of clothes?
and you know what that means, Lord. And I pray that you talk to everyone who's not really able to do incredible things. It is you who works through us. It is you who is empowering to do things. And it is you who provides the open doors that we can go through all we need to pray and pass on to the Father. As you gave the promised land to the Jewish people, and all they have to do is cross the river. Likewise, Father, the world is ours. We're taking today as we preach the gospel. All we have to do is cross the waters and